Do you realize the heavens are open? Right now the heavens are open. Don't stop the music. Don't stop. The heavens are open. Just begin to receive your healing if you need it. Receive the things in life that you need right now. If it's jobs, begin to receive it right now. If it's employment, receive it right now. If it's finances, receive it now. If it's healing, receive it. If it's peace, receive it. For I have already begun to move in your midst. And it's not just when you congregate together. It's not just when you gather in my house in my name. It's in your house in my name. It's in your house that I'm doing the miracles. It's in your house I'm opening the windows of heaven. It's in your family, your household, that I'm doing these things, saith the Lord. And you gave testimony of it today. These are the gifts of the Spirit. These are the moving of the operation of my being among you, saith God. For too long, the church has said, well, when we gather together, when we come together as one, then maybe God will do something. No, I'll do it wherever you are, says God. For you are my church. It's not only when you gather together, but it's where you are with me, saith God. For I spoke with Abraham alone, and I spoke with Isaac alone. And I spoke with Jacob alone. They weren't in a congregation. They weren't in an assembly. But they were seeking after me. And wherever those seek after me, there I will be, saith God. For I am with you all the time. Oh, shite mahasada. I said, I will never leave you. For people will gather in my name. And they will come together, and there I will be also, says the Lord, for I inhabit the praises of my people. But you can praise me alone. You can praise me in the countryside. You can praise me in the city. You can praise me in your house. And wherever you praise me, I will inhabit your praises, saith God. And I will do the same wonders among you individually that I will do corporately. But because of the faith of the people, it had to take others to come together for that faith to begin to manifest. Oh, but I have given you a gift of faith. And I've given you the faith of my son, saith the Lord. So where you are, you can operate in faith there. You don't have to delay. You don't have to wait. You can receive my blessings wherever you are, saith God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Were you ready for the word this morning? I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say it with me, our favorite verse. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. I want to begin to shift gears a little bit. We're still talking about the kingdom. We started talking, I think, in July about the kingdom, and this is our third set of series about that. We talked the last 9 weeks about how to operate in the gifts of the kingdom, in the spiritual gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. I want to begin to get more precise today about these things, about these particular gifts. And 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be to God who always leads us. The Holy Spirit is given to us to lead us, to direct us, to show us the path in which we ought to walk in. And the Holy Spirit needs to be followed. You know, it's not just He leads us. We've got to follow Him. We've got to be obedient to Him. So when we're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, you have to get into the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are in operation. And we were seeing that this morning. The gifts of the Spirit in operation, of the healing testimonies that were given today, of the good news reports, these are all the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in one way or another. And while you were sharing all that, the Lord was just pointing to me, says, you need to point this out. We falsely anticipate that the gifts of the Spirit are only to work within the congregation. Bob Yandian said years ago, these 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that we'll begin to get into were never intended to work solely in the church, but are tools of evangelism to reach outside the doors of the church. They're to manifest through you while you're at work. have a word of knowledge about somebody, like what John shared about the guy at the cemetery. God was leading. That was a work of the Spirit. That was a leading of the Spirit. And five times, God had to say, go and talk to him, go and talk to him. Well, he's not any more dull than the rest of us. God has to tell us over and over, do this. Well, Lord, I'm not sure. Do this. I'm not sure, Lord. Well, there's a leading of the Spirit. You have a word of the Lord to go and talk to them. You have a discerning of spirits that they hurt, that there's pain. You have these things, but the question is, will you yield to it and will you allow the Holy Spirit to use you? Now, it begins to change the direction and how you look at these gifts when you start thinking about it being tools of evangelism rather than just in the church. Because this is a problem when they're only seen as ministry gifts in the church. I'm not even in my notes yet. But this is a problem that we face, particularly in the charismatic Pentecostal community. We get all spiritual about it. It's like people get flaky, I think. That's my term for it. These gifts, if you're really operating in the gift, they operate normally, naturally, smoothly, and they operate a lot of times through us that we don't even know we're operating in a gift of the Spirit. It's just the prompting of God. I remember years ago, there was a young couple that came in wanted to get married, and we were talking with them, and all of a sudden, I didn't know either one of them. And all of a sudden, the Lord just started prompting me on some things. I said, you're dealing with this and you're struggling with this. And they just sat there with their jaws open. Just like, how do you know these things? I said, I don't know you. But I said, is what I'm telling you right? Uh-huh. See, that was a gift of the Spirit. It wasn't in a congregational setting. It was in a private one-on-one situation. But God will do things like that. He'll show you things. Well, how do you know if it's God? Test it out. Just test it out. If you're telling somebody, because this is a problem we get into. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm just going to tell you the way it is, and then I walk away. Well, I did my job, and we never ask, was I right? And sometimes you're just like, no, you're not. You don't have any. None of it's right. Other times people will come up to you and just say, you're reading my mail. How do you know this? How do you know the deepest secrets of my heart? You're just bringing them forth. And see, it's just in normal conversation because it's the leading of the Spirit. And again, in church, we make the gift so, and it's like, that's not how they're meant to be. The gifts aren't to scare people. Now, I know we make people real nervous because we pray in tongues during the service and we openly worship the Lord and things like that. That's because this is an assembly of believers. Hello? When I didn't know anything about this, I thought it was weird too. And I was only around it just a little bit. And it's like, okay, these people are just... But I tested it. I tested it out. Do they have a clue what they're talking about? And the people that we were following at the time knew what they were talking about. And I saw things begin to manifest, and it started my lightning fast mind. I guess I don't know as much as I thought I did. So I started paying attention to what was going on around me and started paying attention to the Word of God, the Bible, to find out what these things were and how they functioned. And we've learned that way. So many people have been taught by men. They've been taught by tradition. Well, you got to stand in this spot and you got to hook, 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 before you. No, you don't have to do that. Now, if an unbeliever, and Paul talks about this, I don't know if we'll get this far, not today, but Paul talks about it in Corinthians. He says, if an unbeliever walks in among you, he's going to think you guys are nuts. And he's right. That's why these gifts are meant to be used outside to educate people so when they come into an assembly of believers, they already have a clue what's going on. But see, I never heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was in church. Never heard about the gifts or the operations of the Spirit. Never heard about any of those things at all. I went to seminary and we never talked about the charismatic renewal. We never talked about the great revival that started in 1901. We never heard about it at all. We never heard about the camp meetings out west where the preachers would preach and the Holy Spirit would fall and the drunks would fall out of the trees and wake up sober speaking in other tongues. We never heard about the wilderness revival. We never heard about the places where the unannounced thousands of people would show up at one place because there was a tent meeting going on. And nobody knew about it. And people came from 500, 600 miles in covered wagons to get to this one location. Who has ever heard of such a thing like that? Oh, the underground church in China. They don't advertise. They still don't advertise, I don't think. But they used to not advertise their meetings. Why? Because if they did, the state police would show up and arrest everybody and put them into prison. So they didn't announce it, but everybody showed up. People from distant cities would travel and show up at the meetings. How did they know that? The leading of the Holy Spirit. And because the United States is so intellectualized, because we have to reason everything out, we talk ourselves probably out of about, this is off the top of my head, 70% of what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. Because where did that thought come from? You know? When the devil talks to you, do you ever say, well, I wonder where that thought came from? No, you say, well, why am I thinking that? Or maybe this is the way I ought to go. No, it's really weird. Even among Christians, most of us don't question the devil, but we always question God. I've had people come to me, I felt in church service one day, God told me to just go up to this person and just hug them and tell them I love them. Is that God? Well, it ain't the devil. Can you imagine the devil? You go to that person and you hug them, tell them Jesus loves them. The devil's not going to tell you that. But God will. Well, God, was that really you? I don't really know. Duh. See, God is so simple we miss him. And we try to make him so religious that we mess everything else up because we're trying to be all super religious about this. You know, you can only prophesy if you're perfect, if you've got everything in your life in order. Nah, it doesn't work that way. Why? God uses imperfect vessels. We all qualify. Isn't that good news? We all qualify for that. Hallelujah. Okay, you ready to go to 1 Corinthians 12? This is a problem that we have. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. That means dumb or stupid. And most of the church is either dumb or stupid on spiritual gifts. We don't have a clue. And I've been around enough charismatics that they don't have any sense either. You know, this is nothing against Billy Brim because we were watching her the other night. And even her son Chip was saying, everybody's got the handkerchief. You know, but some people are like this. Billy's not like this at all. But there's other people. If you don't wave the handkerchief, you're really not in the anointing. Okay, what does that have to do with anything? You know, some people just like handkerchiefs. Well, go for it. If you like handkerchiefs, go for it. They're in the Bible. Hello? It's like, if it works, fine with me. I don't care. Me, I'm not a handkerchief guy. You know, so some people cry. I'm not a crier. But some people say, well, if they didn't cry, it really wasn't anointed. It's like, excuse me? Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, not Jesus. And do you know why Jeremiah was crying? You dumb people, you're going to be carried off into slavery and you don't even act like you care. What is wrong with you people? And he's just crying because nobody heard him. Nobody paid any attention. He has a word of the Lord and goes to the king, and the king tears up. It literally says, as he read the word of the Lord, the king took a knife and cut off the scroll that he was reading it from and threw it in the fire. Now, how'd you like to be that prophet? And then when it's all done with, he throws Jeremiah into a pit to die. And he's in mud up to his knees. No one's allowed to feed him. Nobody's allowed to do anything. And he raises his fist up to God, says, God, you never said it would be like this. He said, no, I didn't. I just asked you to obey me. And Jeremiah said, yeah, that's right. God says, okay. Next day, God sent a servant over and threw down a rope at the risk of his own life to pull him out and hit him. And I don't know how long it was, but sometime after that, later, the king said, I need to talk to Jerry. So the king sent for him and said, what was that scroll that you were reading to me that I tore up and burned and had you cast in to die? What, could you, can you remember that? He goes, yeah, here it is, king. He had a lot of reasons to cry. But you can't make a religious thing out of that. You're really not a prophet if you don't cry. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We get stuck into so many traditions, so many formulas. And he says, here, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Oh my, that we wouldn't be ignorant. You know, we've got Halloween coming up tomorrow. And with Halloween, we're going into an area almost as a nation of supernatural things. The dark side, as some would call it. And people have a bizarre interest in horror. I don't understand it. I've never been attracted to that, not that much. The Frankenstein movies that I grew up with were so laughable that they weren't even scary. You know, the mummy's hand, where this thing's creeping across the floor. It's like, yeah, right. You know, I guess some people got freaked out over it. For me, it's just like, this is really stupid stuff. But the very horror that so many people gravitate to seems to make them numb to what real horror is. They've watched so many movies, so many much blood, so many things, so many zombie movies and all this stuff, that they've become numb to the real tragedy and the real horror going around every day. You know, have you noticed zombies are everywhere? I mean, every channel has 3 or 4 series on zombies, it seems. I don't know if they're having zombie costumes this year again or not, but I'm sure some kid will go out and say, you know, I don't have anything, but I'm going to go out as a zombie. You know, and we pretend on things like that. But the weird thing to me, now get this, the United States military has actually conducted military drills over a potential zombie apocalypse. I saw that article on the Drudge Report. You know, it was up there for several weeks. And I'm thinking, this has got to be a joke. And after it wouldn't go away, I decided to click on it and read it. And the U.S. military in California actually conducted a drill on a zombie apocalypse. Can we defeat zombies if they start coming into our cities? It's like, they're not real. Someone's been watching too much TV. Someone's spending too much time thinking about, it's the same thing. Can we repel invaders from space? Excuse me? This is the problem. We've got real dangers threatening our doorstep, and we're worried about preparing for zombies and alien invaders. This is how warped it has become. We've got a plan for all these things. Okay, this is real. Oh, let's ignore that. It'll just go away. It's not important. It's not significant. See, we're numb to the real horror. We're numb to the real terror that is going on in the world today. They asked some college students the other day, who has killed more people in war, George W. Bush or Lenin? And they said, George Bush killed more. Lenin killed 30 million people? Hello? We had a Gulf War, not even that many people. And, you know, it's like there's no comparison between the two. This is how poor and how uneducated we are about genuine horror. We're talking about liberty. We're talking about people that actually believe in the right of freedom of speech. And the right of freedom of speech is, we all have rights. But I also have the right, I don't have to listen to you if I don't want to. I have that right. Oh, no. If they say it, you've got to hear. No. See, the real horror is that we're forcing people to listen to things whether they agree with it or not, and we're cramming it down people's throats. That's a real horror rather than just somebody burning a flag. That isn't horror. But it's horror that you have to listen to this and you have to agree to it and you have to allow it. That's the real horror, that we're taking away freedoms and liberties of people. You know, our Constitution guarantees us the right of assembly. That means you get to choose who you assemble with. Well, if you're a rapist, I'd choose not to assemble with you. But now that's not PC. If I have the right of assembly, I want to go into a men's bathroom and no women aren't going to come into it. And if I was a woman, I'd want to go into a woman's bathroom and not have men worried about men coming into it. Now, if a transvestite walks into the bathroom that I'm in, as quick as I can, I'm leaving. I'm not going to strike up a conversation with them. They're weird. And if someone said, well, Gordon, that's not PC. Do you think they're not weird? I'll just come in with my lipstick and, oh, I'm going to have a good time. And everybody say, that pastor's gone weird. Even the liberals would say, that's weird. You just proved my point. It's weird. But you can't say that. You remember, I'm Bunny Trail here. I've only got a couple minutes, so it doesn't matter. But Bunny Trail, in the 60s, you couldn't call people queer. A derogatory term. Have you noticed that it's now officially the lay, lesbian, bisexual, queer community? I thought that was a derogatory term. Now, we're queer. I knew it. You've been that way for a long time. I know it. It's like, now we're being open about it. No surprise to me, but evidently you're just discovering your identity. This is a problem with that. There are now officially 82 different definitions of sexual orientation. 82. How do you get there? More and more, the psychiatry in studies are finding out this is a mental disorder. Something is not going on right in your head. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, if I told you I'm a dog trapped in a human body, what would you think? But there's people that believe that. They're a dog, they're a cow, they're a cat stuck in a human. Have you ever heard your cat come up to you and say, meow, I'm a human trapped in a kitty body? I guess it's evolution, because you never know what's going to happen. You know, evolution is just a series of accidents, random happenings that created anything. There's no order to it at all. Well, I guess. But this is the real horror. We're denying people the help that they need because we're trying to accept them as they are. This has gone to pedophiles. Pedophiles are now saying, this isn't a crime. This is just how I was made. Excuse me? There are already lawsuits out against discrimination, because why can't a marriage be between three people? Or four people? Or five people? See, this is the real evil. We've changed the definition of what it is to be human, to where we have no clue anymore. There are people that are suing that my pet is human and should have human rights. I forget what their name was, but years ago there was a major country western star. I can get you the name if you need it. But a major country star that said that humans are no different than a cow. And I thought about that. I hope she doesn't eat hamburgers. Did you get it? If we're no different than cattle, how many saw the movie Soylent Green? That's where they ground up dead people and made food out of them to feed the others who were living. Hello? I don't want to go there. In a cake decorating, I'll just continue to introduce this. In a cake decorating contest on one of the cooking channels the other day, they had a cake decorating contest for magicians. One contestant in their presentation had a crystal ball. The judge, who was a magician, told her that a crystal ball had nothing to do with magicians, but was in the realm of the clairvoyant. See, magicians use sleight of hand. They use misdirection. They are not supernatural or spiritual in what they do. They get you to watch the right hand while the left hand's doing something else. It's through misdirection. Politicians are trained in the sleight of hand. they're not supernatural. But so often they're being used by spiritual forces because they have become immune to the real horror of their activities. They have no clue what the result is going to be. They have no clue the effect that it's going to have because they don't care about the effect it has. Because their whole emphasis is to get you to watch one hand while they're doing something else. That's a politician. They're not supernatural. They're not superhuman. They don't have a magic wand that they can wave and make everything right. It's all misdirection. That's why so many people are fed up with professional politicians, people that have never held a job in the real world but want to tell everybody else how to do it. I learned a long time, I'm a pastor. If you want to come and talk about spiritual things, I can help you. I can guide you in the right direction. I can pray for you. I can get devils off of you. I can renew your mind if I have to kick your butt to get to your mind. Sometimes I do that. And we can do that. But if you want information on how to change a tire on your car, don't come to me. I have no knowledge in that area, okay? Now, this is the thing about spiritual gifts. People go to people and say, well, you have this gift. I can't manufacture this. This isn't a mind game. This isn't because I know this because I've observed you. There are things I know by observing you, but that is not a supernatural gift. That's just natural understanding. And a lot of people have learned to read others, and so they can give them a word of the Lord to misdirect them. And what part of the tendency is that you become dependent upon the prophet instead of the Holy Spirit. And it's wild in the body of Christ. And it's wild in the world. Follow after me. I'm the only one that has words of the Lord. Well, you're not the only one. What do you do when you get two prophets in the same meeting that disagree with each other? It happens. Paul wrote to the brethren in Corinthians. He's writing to believers that are caught up in the art of sleight of hand. They have chosen to ignore the reality of the Spirit of the living God who says, I am a jealous God. Let me give you a few scriptures. I'll try not to comment on these. Exodus 34:14 says, you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4:23-24 says, take heed to yourselves lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Matthew 6:24. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve natural things, fleshly things, carnal things, and serve God at the same time. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 24, he says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry. See, so much, and we've talked about this over the last 9 weeks, so much of the things that mess us up is we're being consumed about how does this affect me? What's going to happen with my life? And so you can mess up the gifts of the Spirit when it's all about you. Now, Jesus went on to say, don't worry about your life. In other words, you died itself. You let it go. You let God take care of those things. But he says, this is what we ought to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek his kingdom. Seek the will of God. Seek it first. Before righteousness. Now, that hit me just a few weeks ago. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the problem is, we've sought his righteousness, but not the kingdom. And so we think we're living right. We think we're okay with God, but we're not living right. And the church is full of that. Because we haven't judged ourselves. We say, well, I'm righteous. I'm right with God. Yes, you are righteous, but you need to live righteous. You need to live for his kingdom. And see, the gifts of the Spirit, we'll get into this next week, are not about you. It's about establishing his kingdom. It's about bringing people into the house of God. It's about bringing people into the family of God. It's about showing them God reads your mail. He knows every thought that you have. Every thought. Now, you think about that. That ought to scare you. I have people come up to me, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, and that ought to worry you. It ought to make you a little bit nervous. God knows your heart. Well, I'm just as pure as a driven snow. Okay, after we pray for liars, you still want to talk to me. It's like, I want to do right, but sometimes I have a hard time doing it. Because sometimes I just want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to do what I know is the right thing to do. I just, Lord, I'm going to eat that extra candy bar. God will say, you've already had 30. And I'll say, well, one more won't make any difference then, right? Hallelujah. So let me end with this scripture. Romans 14:7. Paul describes the kingdom of God as this. He said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, because you know your righteousness with God, you know your place with God. Peace, because you're settled within yourself that you belong to Him. You cease from your own striving. This is a place where you rest from your own works. Is that peace? I know who I am. I don't have to try to convince you. I don't have to try to win you over, because I already know who I am. I can go into my big dog, little dog story, but I'm going to avoid that. Joy. Joy is a place of rejoicing. Not in your own work or efforts, but joy in the work that God has done in you. That's where you get your joy from. Praise God, I'm not the same. Praise God, I'm still a work in progress. But there's work going on. I can take joy in that. Hopefully, I'm not the same man I was yesterday. Hopefully, I'm a little bit closer with God now. I'm gaining in information. I'm gaining in knowledge. I'm gaining in experience. I'm growing in the things of God. I haven't attained everything yet, but I'm on the way. See, I can take joy in that. It's coming. It's coming. It may be Friday, but Sunday is on the way. Hallelujah. You know, if you ever, Anthony Compello taught that, he says, Jesus was crucified on Friday, but he took joy because he knew Sunday was coming. And every time there's a Friday in your life, you can take joy because Sunday is coming. Every time. See, this is a joy. See, you've got to get all these things settled within yourself. Why? So the gifts of the Spirit can operate correctly. That they can get into the proper use that God wants them to be into. And when you're at peace with yourself, when you're settled within yourself, and I love this, this is so crucial, because so many people are struggling with self-identity. When you have peace, you know who you belong to. You know who you are. There's a confidence and a peace on the inside of you. I don't have to prove myself to you. I don't have to justify myself to you. I don't have to do anything with you, because I'm living for God. And I am content in that. If everything around me is destroyed, I still know I'm right with God. So my confidence is in Him. Not in my possessions, not in my work, not in anything else, but my confidence is in Christ. Because I've ceased from my labors. Now I can let Christ reign in me. Amen. Now I can let Him have first place. I'm seeking His kingdom and His righteousness so I can be complete in Christ. Amen. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. I tell you, I think God's given us some sugar because it helps the medicine go down. Because you got to have joy to hear some of this stuff. Because you can get so depressed over it, and it's like, my life is a shambles. Yeah, we know that. But God is good. And He'll pick you up and put you back on your feet. Because you just got to keep your eyes on Him. Isn't it funny? Every time a child falls down, they look to their parents. Every time they mess up, you can say, Debbie and I have observed this so many times. The kid will fall down, and they look to see if anybody saw them to know whether they should cry or not. And if nobody sees them, they just get up and shake themselves off and goes on. But if mommy or daddy saw them fall down, it's like, what's the matter? They just want a hug. See, God will always come by. He's a good parent. He'll always come by and pick you up. So when you fall, he'll be there to help you. See, that's our confidence. That's our hope in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son. That if we will believe in him and what he's done for us, God, we can enter into your kingdom. We can enter into your presence with celebration, with joy, with shouting, with dancing, oh God. Father, I pray for everyone here this morning. If we have not made you Lord, Lord, we do it now. We ask Jesus into our heart. We ask you, Father, to come in and make your home in us and dwell in us and live in us. And Lord, teach us how to live right. And Lord, help us know the leading of your Holy Spirit, that you can have your perfect work in us, that we can come up to that level that you created us to live in. So, Father, we give you praise and we give you honor now for Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we receive it. We receive your work in us, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you.